Okay, speaking though of your YouTube, I want to talk about a series that you all did. I believe it was like 4 years ago or maybe even more, but it was about Young Swingers Week. And I want to know.
Oh, yes!
I want to know all about this. I feel like, especially in my like friend groups, and like, I feel like I turned 30 and everyone was like, all right, are we fucking each other or what? Like, I feel like I feel like everything, yeah, it's very much just kind of like the shell has been broken about like, okay, like, let's open up our relationships and let's talk about this and let's, you know, yeah. And I feel like Young Swingers Week like really fits into that idea. And I wonder, yeah, if you could tell me like, what is that? What did you do when you went there? Like, tell me all about that experience.
I mean, it was a magical 10 days of debauchery. Oh, it was so good.
Although we were lucky, although I was not single at the time, I was in a monogamous relationship and could not fucking enjoy, yeah, myself. But I like enjoyed myself through Reed's experiences,
right,
and a, yeah, lot of solo sex in my hotel room.
Amazing.
Yeah, and things got tight between Florence and I. There were some moments where it was like, oh shit, it's time to leave now. Like,
right.
And being next door and having threesomes, and Florence is like hearing me have threesomes next door. Like, sorry, Florence.
Yeah. So we were invited by the hotel to kind of come and vlog the whole experience, mm-hmm, which was very cool because it's in Jamaica and we're like, okay, like, yeah, yeah, we'll come to Jamaica to go to a sex, yeah, hotel. We had no idea what to expect.
This is the hotel's called Hedonism 2.
That's the name of the hotel.
Yeah,
the name of the hotel, and they have loads of different themed weeks, and then there are companies, mm-hmm, that like rent out the place and sell their tickets and everything like that. So we went on Young Swingers Week, and it was just such an incredible experience. It wasn't just a nudist resort where it's completely acceptable to be naked everywhere, which, apart from, yeah, in the restaurant.
Which was really cool.
Really cool. And there's a part of the beach and a pool that you have to be naked if you want to go hang,
oh,
out,
wow,
there.
Yeah.
The rest of the beach, you don't have to be. But it wasn't just, you know, like a big fuck fest. There were classes, there were talks, there were, you know, shows on every night. There were themed days. Yeah. We did like, we covered so much and did so much. And before going, you know, we were both quite nervous. Like, yeah, like we're coming from all the way on the other side. We've got no idea really what to expect. You know, what's it going to be like naked with everyone, yeah, right, kind of thing.
I hadn't been to a sex party before. So like, this was like the first time that I was kind of going to see people fucking in front of me and like all of that, mm-hmm, stuff. And I remember, I think it was like the first time we went onto the nudist beach. We went like towards, mm-hmm, the bar, and there was a full on orgy happening in the pool. Just like there was, yes, like people sitting on the edge, someone going down on them, like,
wow,
just like, mm-hmm, fucking.
People
we were
sucking,
like,
and fucking, whoa, and fingering, and like, we're like, oh, are you seeing what I'm seeing right now? it was, I think when you see people fucking, you think it's going to be really weird, but when you actually see it, you're like, oh, that's really cool. Like, that's really normal.
Yeah.
And it feels really like special and exciting, and it's not like gross or weird. You're just like, huh,
yeah,
they're fucking, and I'm not freaking out. Wow.
Like, yeah, like a new thing has been like unlocked. Something has happened.
Yes. Yeah.
I guess that was the whole, like, when I wanted to direct porn and I first saw people fucking in front of me, that was like the same reaction. It was like, why is this not weirder? Like, it should be weird, but it's not. Like, I'm just a viewer, and I'm just sitting next to them and they're doing that. That's cool.
It's because sex isn't weird. Sex in front, like, you know, we're animals. That's so baseline. We should be able to fucking really in front of our friends, in front of anyone, and not be weird.
Yeah.
But we've created this idea that it's gross, or it's private, it's secretive. We can't see any of that. And it's like that's really... it's really sad. One of the best things was going to a sex party with one of my closest friends who I see as a brother, seeing him fuck his girlfriend and being like, oh, I'll give them some space. But like, I'm fucking cheering for you. And like, this isn't awkward and weird. And like, go you.
Right.
You know, I mean, when we've been to sex parties before, it's a bit like that. So you should be cheering for your friends, not being like, ew, gross.
I remember walking out of a sex party room, like, think, oh, there's Reed. Oh, she's going down her boyfriend. Cool.
Okay then, well,
just walk on by. Yeah. But imagine if I came over and like patted you on the back, like, awesome.
You got this. Yeah.
Or like even just like, should I take the balls? Like, yeah. Let's go.
No one's really touching the anus there. Let me just get right back in there.
Yeah, yeah, it? Like, I mean, I need a rimming partner here. Like, team up, yo.
That would not be me.
Oh, my God.
And then there was the time at Hedonism when Reed was fully going into this threesome and I was like, okay, I'll come into the sex room too and I'll just sit on the side and I'll watch because I'm not allowed to do anything. But, like, yeah. Reed was, like, there was three people. I think there was one person like sucking each
other. It started as a couple and then another person joined. Oh my God. Yeah. The foot action I got. I was like, mad.
And then you started like moaning and stuff. And I was like, time for me to go. And I just was like,
oh, it's so sad. Go.
Bye, everyone. And went home to my room and masturbated. Not to the thought of you, but like just the general horniness.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind if it was to the thought of me. It's like, pleasure's pleasure. We all think about weird shit in the time. Like,
honestly, we really don't. Obviously, we don't talk about that. Like, I feel like even it's like more common for like cis women with their cis women friends to be like, oh, like, you know, whatever. Sex in the City, classic bullshit where they're like, oh, was he good in bed? Like, how big was his dick? Like, all these things in the 90s that like we stereotype that we think that like women are saying to each other. But even now, I feel like in monogamous relationships, it's more rare for like me and my friends who are women to really talk about it. Cause there is this kind of level of like privacy. If you've been, you know, with the same person for a really long time, maybe there's nothing that you feel like you want to share that's maybe new or I don't know. I just feel like it's not like friends don't really talk about that as much as it's like depicted in media.
Yeah.
Apart from us.
Yeah. It's
apart from you.
Yeah. Apart from us. I mean, this is why we connected because we not only did we have less of a social barrier when it came to sex, but also we were so excited to learn more. And, you know, we like now we realize that the more something is uncomfortable to talk about, the more we should be talking about it, the more we should be pushing that boundary and that barrier. And learning and like de-shaming ourselves. Like a lot of why we're so secretive around our friends is because we're afraid of being judged or we haven't accepted it ourselves. I mean, for how many years did I tell you every single fantasy, Florence, except I wouldn't talk to you about my tickle fetish?
Yeah,
because I hadn't accepted it fully myself and I couldn't get my head around it and I'd barely even spoken to my boyfriends about it and now I can't fucking shut up about
it. I want to hear about it. Can you tell me about it too?
So I have a tickle fetish. Yay. I feel like I'm at like AA, like
hi tickle fetish.
I got a tickle fetish. A fetish is different to a kink. I think a lot of us have kinks, but not everyone has fetishes. Fetishes are more common in men because men's arousal is based on visuals, but women's arousal is based on mental stimulation. And trying to cut this down quick. A fetish is something that is fundamental to your pleasure. Most people with a fetish cannot achieve an orgasm without thinking or doing that thing. So you can't control what fetish you have. You can't control what other people's fetishes are. It normally happens from a situation or a circumstance when you're younger. That becomes an obsession and then turns into something sexual. So yeah. I have a tickle fetish. I can't figure out if it's a fetish or not, or if just like an extremely strong kink, bondage. And I'm also really into CNC, which is consensual, non-consensual play. But that all fits very neatly into my tickle fetish. Mm. And I'm actually hosting my tickle fetish party this Saturday. Oh my gosh. So I'm very excited.
Exciting. Mm. I'm assuming that's in the UK or is that international?
Yeah, okay. That's in London. If anyone's going to be in London and wants to come along, find me on FetLife where I normally post the events. And everyone is vetted to make sure everybody's safe and like, you know, security questions. Security? No, I mean like safety questions. And it's just, yeah, it's just like-minded tickle fetishes meeting each other, because when you have a fetish there is so much shame and embarrassment around it, and you genuinely think you're the only one. You're just like, I can't even imagine other people feeling the same way. Until you learn to accept it within yourself, you're always gonna feel weird or strange. I putting it on my dating profile changed my whole life, not just my sex life, but changed my whole life, and I'm just so much happier accepting that part of me.
That's so wonderful. And also, I don't know if either of you have read the book, Arousing History of Sex by Rachel Feltman. If you haven't, highly recommend it. She uses like history and science to just talk about all of these aspects of sex and sexual health. And some of them are really funny and silly and weird. And some of them are just like true and just good to know. And she has a whole chapter in there on kinks and fetishes. And of course, as a sex educator, like I logically know this, but when I read it, it's so much better to read when she says, if you think that you're weird and you're the only one that has had that kink fetish kind of preference, someone else has thought of that already. Like
someone else has thought of it, done it, filmed it, like it, everything.
Reverse fucked it. Like it's been done and it's been stranger or weirder or more different than you even think. And so know like exactly what you said, Reed, like someone else and probably multiple and maybe like thousands and millions of other people feel the things that you're feeling and thinking. And even if they're like not as common, who cares?
Yeah. I mean, think about the film Crash. There is a literal film about people getting turned on by car crashes. And if it is in the mainstream, like there is just so much about car crashes as well. It's so fucked, but it's so beautiful and exciting. Like,
wild. I don't think I've ever seen that film.
Not only are you so magnetic and so fantastic at public speaking, but you lead so many incredible workshops that have like real knowledge and power that you're like giving people, right? And so like it's like from sex ed trivia to oral sex to ridology, aka an erotic fitness class, right? Dedicated to building to building stamina, increasing confidence, and adding control to being on top. That's fucking brilliant. I've never heard of a class like that. So smart. And I would love for you to do like a mini oral sex 101 workshop for us right now for performing oral sex specifically on penises, right? I think like there are a lot of things that you could highlight here, but I'm just wondering, what do the listeners need to know that you can maybe share like a few tidbits here? And then what else would they really learn in depth in your workshop?
Okay. Well, in both of my workshops, the oral sex on a penis is called lick and oral sex on a vulva is called lip service. Because, you know, why not? But oral sex is oral sex. Oral technique is oral technique. And so we go over in both of those classes, there is a workbook for both classes. We go over the anatomy of the genitals, the anatomy of the mouth, hand, and throat. We go over diet, hygiene, oral sex friendly positions, manual and oral stimulation of the genitals, and how to add sex toys to your oral sex game. So that's what we go over in the workshop.
Wow.
The biggest thing, I think the biggest takeaway is confidence and enthusiasm are the biggest, best things you can bring to your oral sex game. Oral sex is performance art. And I think the goal of oral sex is to make your partner feel delicious. Like that, I'm talking about delicious, like finger licking good. Like you want your partner to feel like you've been waiting all day to put your mouth between their legs, right? And sometimes we get in our head, specifically on penises, but in vulvas too. Like we get in our mind about, okay, I need to, stroke the penis, cup the balls, do this. And so then it becomes sort of mechanical. And it becomes something you have to do, not something you get to do. And so to reframe and to kind of take the burden off of having to be great off top, I tell people oral sex is performance art, and performance art needs a theme song. So to add confidence to your game, the easiest thing you can do is think of a song that makes you feel sexy. Now, I do a lot of applied linguistics work in my work because words mean things, okay? So when we think sexy, a lot of people have never felt sexy in their lives because they define sexy as what other people can be, not what they can be. And that does a lot to our confidence, right?
Comparison. So
I prefer that people drill down on the word sexy. When we say sexy, what do we mean? When I say sexy, I mean confident. I mean beautiful. I mean powerful. I mean attractive. I mean desirable. I mean intelligent, funny, stylish, right? All of the things. And so when you can connect to yourself in other words that also mean sexy for you. You show up different. So get a song in your head that makes you feel like that. Like when you get dressed and you know your outfit is popping and you have a good hair day.
Like you just feel it.
You and you walking down the street and that song that's in your head right then. Perform oral sex to that song. Mm. Not only does it do something just energetically for you, it also gives you a rhythm to perform to, because the key to gag reflex control is breath control. So you have a rhythm now to perform to. Your breathing and all the things, your partner is now going to match your breathing and all the things, and the body rhythms will go together. You can hum into your partner's genitals, which adds a rumble and a vibration that feels amazing, adds layers to the pleasure. You can mouth some of the lyrics to the song into their body. Be it, if it's on the mic, you can rock the tip of the mic and just mouth the lyrics into the, you know what I'm saying? If it's a vulva, you can just like go in deep and just kind of lip the words. So it just adds. And it's like, it's a cheat code, because you feeling good. You in it with the song. So now you rocking the mic to the song, or you rocking the headphones to the song and humming and breathing and your body. You should be performing oral sex with your entire body.
That really gives me a whole new perspective on the way in which it, like this idea of you get to do this, like mm-hmm. how lucky are we that we get to give our partner this kind of pleasure? And
if that's the thing, you're framing it as your partner's pleasure. The way I teach, I frame it as the pleasure of the person performing.
Totally.
Because dudes be like, oh, that's right. You need to teach these women how to please their man. First of all, I'm not only teaching women how to suck dick. Anybody that want to learn how to suck dick can learn.
Anyone can.
I'm teaching a behavior. I'm teaching a sexual act. So anybody interested in sucking dick can come to this class. Anybody interested in riding dick can come to this class.
Right. First of all.
Secondly, I don't care about the person's pleasure that's receiving the oral sex. If you're not enjoying it, it doesn't matter.
Hmm. As the very first thing, you have to be the one. Like
you need to be connected to the pleasure that you're providing.
Right.
And that's how it turns from something you got to do to something you get to do, because you're enjoying it. If you're enjoying it, you'll do it more. If you're enjoying it, you'll put more into the performance. If you're enjoying it, it can also satisfy you. I tell people, if you have not reached orgasm from performing oral sex, your life is incomplete.
Whoa. Okay, so while using hands or a toy on yourself? Or
possibly. So here's okay. The science and whole shit, right? So, like, if you're moving and you're grooving and you're performing oral sex, you're getting, you know, aroused and stimulated as well. If you want to use a toy on yourself, on your own genitals, while you're performing on your partner, great, right? And you can reach orgasm that way. And you reach orgasm with your partner's genitals in your mouth. It's an amazing experience. What happens is you sort of create this operant conditioning, this Pavlovian response.
Like, that felt really good last time. I'm going to do that again.
Uh-huh. And what happens is, as your body starts to get that muscle memory in place, it may get to a point where you don't need the toys anymore. You just created this circuit in your brain of giving and receiving pleasure, because that's what operant conditioning is. That's what Pavlovian response is. And people don't think that they're going to talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs and Pavlovian response in a blowjob class, but guess what? Here we are.
I have some homework to do. I feel like this is really, yeah, this is great. I think that makes a lot of sense.
The science and the whole shit, right? And so when you have the science and the whole shit, it just hits different, because I use science to explain pleasure. And when you have, like we were talking earlier about layering informal and formal education, now you've gotten some formal education,
right,
to go with the informal education that you've had this whole time before you got here. And it's going to build confidence. And that is why my tagline is connecting people to sexuality, health, education, and pleasure with confidence.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I feel like that really makes sense with the confidence, because when you show up in your body and you're feeling really, really good about yourself, that impacts all of your experiences by yourself and with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that totally resonates with me.
And it shows up when you got your upright with your clothes on.
Right.
Walking down the street, having a conversation, it shows up differently. People think what I do is orgasms and rainbows, mm-hmm. right? Really, I'm a confidence coach, but I can't tell y'all that because that's not what people expect from me.
Hmm.
So your sexual confidence permeates every other kind of confidence you have, because we're we're a very sexualized culture, but we're not a very sexually educated culture. And if education is power, and knowledge is power, and everything in the world is about sex except sex. Sex is about power.
Just let that sit there for a sec.
Then what are we doing? You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, totally. That is what people, I think that's what people connect when they think of me. I hope that's what people connect to and what they remember about their interactions with me.